God has a plan for your life. There is something He wants to accomplish through you for His glory and for the expansion of His kingdom purposes. You have a destiny to fulfill. And it is a destiny that you must be prepared to fulfill. Tony Evans, in his book Detours, on page 22, says, God is not going to bring your destiny to fruition until He knows you're able to handle it spiritually, emotionally, and physically. If you cannot handle it, you will lose it rather than use it for His glory. End of quote. So right now, whether you realize it or not, God is developing you so that you can fulfill your destiny. Now, this development can be difficult. It can involve painful experiences. It can involve a process that can be trying at times as God breaks us of sinful habits, selfishness, and pride, to bring each and every one of us to a place of full and complete surrender to Him and to His will for our lives. Again, quoting Dr. Evans, he says, God cannot grant us our destiny if we will not allow Him to shape our character. Genesis chapter 37, if you'd like to turn there with me, we're studying all of this in light of the life of Joseph. Now, in chapter 37 of Genesis, we learn that Jacob, who is the father of Joseph, and he had 11 other sons and daughters. We know about Dinah especially, but I just learned in my reading recently that he did have daughters, plural. But Jacob loved Joseph more than his brothers. He made a coat of many colors for Joseph. And Jacob's favoritism was very obvious, and it hurt Joseph's brothers. And the Bible says they hated him, not Jacob, but Joseph. They hated Joseph because of this favoritism. Then we read that God gives Joseph a dream where he and his brothers were binding sheaves in the field, and his sheaf rises up, and their sheaves stood all around and bowed down to his. And so we see that at the age of 17, as the Bible tells us, that through this dream, God is telling Joseph that he is destined to be a ruler of some kind. I'm sure Joseph did not understand all the ramifications of this dream, but he found it intriguing, and he believed it, that there was something in the dream that was for him, of course. Well, then he shared his dream with his brothers, causing them to say, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" And the scripture says, they hated him even more. Now, all of this contributed to Joseph's messed up family. Dysfunctional on steroids, I would say. But God took this severe conflict between Joseph and his brothers to bring Joseph into God's development school. Now, we know the story now that Joseph will indeed rise to a position of power as a ruler, and he will indeed be used of God to save the lives of many people. But first, he must graduate from GDS, God's Development School. As we trace Joseph's development, we see things about him that are very good. These qualities of Joseph would be what we call creating great potential in him, to be used by God. But as we look at his life, we also see things about him that are not good. flaws that needed to be whittled away and replaced with character traits that would enable him to fulfill his destiny, God's purpose for his life. So this morning, let's consider what Joseph had going for him in contrast to and comparison with his brothers. Joseph's 11 brothers, they lacked character. Some of them were immoral. Two of them brutally murdered all the men of a small city. But here's the greater problem. There is no evidence up to this point in the story. There is no evidence of them ever admitting these things or doing anything to change. You see, some of God's choicest people that he has used greatly in his work have been people with similar problems like these men had. But those that God was able to use were men and women who admitted their need for change and brought their lives to God in such a way that he was able to change them. As a matter of fact, the father of all these boys, Jacob, is a great example of that. So that herein is the important thing. When we do not take care of these problems, they end up getting worse. And we'll see that that happens here in the life of Joseph. So some of Joseph's brothers did some of these things that I just mentioned. But here's something that all of them did. They all demonstrated a lack of character in their hatred of Joseph. The hurt in their hearts because of their father's favoritism of Joseph was legitimate. But they were wrong to hate their brother. And they were doubly wrong for doing nothing to resolve their hatred. And as a result, their hatred worsened. My brothers and sisters, such is the nature of sin. If we do not repent, if we do not deal with our flaws, they will worsen and cause destruction. Let's read the text again in Genesis 37, beginning at verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please, hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now you'll notice in this text it says, they hated him. And then in verse 5, they hated him even more. And then in verse 8, and they hated him even more. If we do not resolve our anger and our hatred, it will consume us. It's interesting to note that the Texas shooter that massacred 26 people, shot another 20. We realize this morning in soberness that half the congregation of this small church is dead now. His name is Devin Patrick Kelly. His ex-wife, quote, said the following, "He had a lot of demons of hatred, and hatred consumed him." I will tell you that hatred that is not resolved, that continues to get worse and to worsen, is something that creates the worst kind of terrorism. So here we have Joseph's brothers. You know, God had a destiny for them too, did he not? Now let us remember something. The 12 tribes of Israel, right? Major part of God's word. Are these 12 boys? 11 plus Joseph. When the priest would go into the temple or in the tabernacle, either one, and bear on his shoulders the name of these men. We also know that their names are written on the gates in heaven. All these 12 men. And yet, they didn't have any character. Matter of fact, next Sunday, actually 2 weeks from today, sermon will be about that subject. But here we have these men. And I believe a lot of the reason that God continued to bless is because he made a covenant with their grandfather. The power of covenant is a very powerful thing. God has made a covenant with us as well through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. God's a God of covenant keeping. And so, but these men, they had a destiny to fulfill as well. But here's what happened. They failed to see that the hurt that they experienced in their messed up family was indeed a test. And it was a test that they failed. But Joseph was different. He too was tested by his brother's vicious actions toward him. And as we will see, he passes the test. Listen carefully to the next statement. Herein lies the difference between understanding and accepting God's development of our lives and misunderstanding and rejecting it. It is life and death. It is either destiny being fulfilled or destiny not being fulfilled. How we view what has happened to us in the past, what is happening right now, and what God may do in the future. We do not serve a God who wants to destroy us. We do not serve a God who wants us to be anything less than great for his glory. And so the difference between Joseph and his brothers is not that Joseph was a better person as such, or that his brothers were worse a person than he was, but it was in how they responded to their life circumstances. And the 11 brothers didn't pass the test, as I just showed you. They hated him more, they hated him even more, and as we will see, their desire is that he be dead. On the other side of the coin, Joseph was a man of faith. Now, it's obvious that he had a vital relationship with God. Now, I do not say that his 11 brothers did not have a relationship with God. Actually, 10, because the youngest, Benjamin, is not really part of this scenario. He was born later. Actually, he's already been born, but he's very young at this point. He was not part of this viciousness. So it was actually 10 of his brothers, not 11. So anyway, Joseph had a vital relationship with God. Not just a relationship with God, but it was an important part of his life. The fact that he received a dream from God about his destiny indicates this. Because of his faith, I believe that Joseph shared a spiritual kinship with his father that the other boys did not. Joseph and his father Jacob were like-minded spiritually. We see this in Jacob's response to Joseph when he shared his second dream. We pick up the reading in Genesis 37, verse 9. Then he, Joseph, dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him. But his father kept the matter in mind. Another translation reads this way. But his father kept the matter in mind and wondered what the dream meant. So he didn't like the dream either, but he pondered the fact that this may be of God, that there was something here for his son. So Joseph and his dad Jacob had a kinship that unfortunately the other boys did not have. Secondly, Joseph was also a man of integrity. We see this later in his response to Potiphar's wife. We'll get there eventually in the series, where she makes advances toward him, asking him to sleep with her. And he says, quote, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now, all of this speaks to the great potential that Joseph had. He was a man of faith. He was a man of integrity. These are things that made him useful to God. But he also has some flaws. He bragged about himself. He had some youthful pride. We read in Genesis 37 and verse 8, "And his brothers hated him all the more because of his dreams." And the New Living Translation reads this way, "and the way he talked about them." So Joseph was a bit brash. He had some youthful pride. And when he spoke of his dreams, he tended, it seems, to put himself up a little bit to brag about himself. Secondly, he tattled on his brothers. No one likes a tattler. After Joseph had been feeding the flock with his brothers, the Bible says, he brought an evil report or a bad report to them, of them to his father. Now, perhaps Joseph, being a young man of integrity, saw his brothers sort of being negligent in their duties, but tattling on them, well, that didn't go over very well. And thirdly, he was immature. I mean, he's only 17 years old. And God is putting into the heart of a 17-year-old how he's going to use him in a great way. And perhaps Joseph was a bit, or maybe a lot, insensitive to his brothers' feelings about their father's favoritism. In his mind, he wore that coat of many colors because his dad made it for him. But perhaps he did not consider how it fueled his brothers' hatred of him. All I'm saying is, even though Joseph was a wonderful young man and had a lot going for him, God had great plans for him, and he knew, I'm going to use this young man, but I'm going to have to put him through my school of hard knocks. I'm going to have to do some things in his life to prepare him for the task that I have for him. And so, indeed, God did just that. So it is with us. Every single one of you here today is filled with potential for the kingdom. I said every single one of you here this morning. You are full of potential for doing great things for the kingdom of God. No matter what your past is, no matter how messed up your family was, or no matter how messed up you've been, we are all, through Jesus Christ, new creations. We have been born again. Amen? The old is gone and the new has come. That means that we have been given a brand new life in Jesus Christ. And yet we all still have flaws, don't we? I have flaws. You have flaws. All God's children got flaws. How do we reconcile that? We're new creations in Christ Jesus. And yet, on the other hand, we still have flaws. Well, here's what's happening. God sees us over here as just being absolutely full of potential. All that we are, and he's made us to be, he sees us actually as being perfect. And by the way, the only way you can get to heaven is by being perfect. And you'll never be perfect apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is our righteousness, you see. He died, he shed his blood, he rose again to save us. So that's who we really are. But we're still over here trying to figure that out. And so God is working on us to bring us more and more up to a point where we truly understand and live out who we are in Christ. And that's why he's working on our flaws. And sometimes he will spare no pain or discomfort or difficulty to get us to learn the lessons that we need to learn. One of these days, as God continues to do his work in recreating us in Christ, he develops this new life in us. He enables us to walk in all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus so that all of us can reach our full potential and maximize our effectiveness in serving him and his kingdom, and through the whole process bring him great glory. If you think you can't, if you think you won't, that's a lie from the devil. God has recreated all of us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and God wants to enable us and develop us so that we can do what he has called us to do. And that's exciting indeed. Therefore, it's important for us all to understand something. Do you know how God reveals our flaws? You say, oh, he just sends me a kind note. Well, that's true in a sense because we have the Scriptures. God reveals our flaws through testing. When you're tested, what's in you comes out. God reveals our flaws through our testing. And He's behind all the tests. He's the one that grades the papers and gives the final grade. Nobody else does. He is Almighty God. And once these flaws are revealed, we can then crawl in a ditch and say, oh, I'm so horrible. No, no, no. Once these flaws are revealed, we can then cooperate with God in this spiritual makeover that He wants to do on every one of us. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, Pastor, I'm thrilled about it. But what I'm telling you is the truth. The Word of God is very clear. There is no one that God has ever used that He didn't, first of all, put through His school of development. GDS. So Joseph is destined to be exalted to a place of authority. What is his first step in his journey to his destiny? The first lesson in God's development school. Well, Jacob sends him out to see how his brothers are doing in keeping the flocks. And the Bible says in Genesis 37, verse 18, we pick up the reading there. Now when they, the brothers, saw him, Joseph, afar off, coming their way, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him, cast him into some pit, and we will say some wild beast has devoured him. And then we shall see what will become of his dreams. His brothers' hatred and envy of him had been brewing for a long time. And left unresolved, their hatred boiled over into a plan to kill Joseph. Now I want you to notice something. Their hatred was directed toward Joseph's dream, his destiny. The very thing that God has dropped into Joseph's heart became the target of his own family's hatred. Sometimes, those nearest us can be used by the enemy to attack our destiny. But do not forget that such attacks are tests that God is allowing. And even in these tests, He is doing something to develop His servant for His God-ordained task. And consider this. As we look forward to the end of the story, we will find that the work that God does through Joseph will bring about a reconciliation of his relationships with his brothers. Yes, indeed. By the time we get to the end of this story, Joseph's messed up family will eventually be reunited and living together in peace. Isn't that cool? You know, God is all about reconciliation. It is something that is near to the heart of God, that His people be reconciled to Christ, of course, but to each other. It is something I pray for regularly because I know it's the heart of God. And I want it to be my heart as well. My prayer is that God will help me live out Romans 12:18, where it says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Well, we return to our story in Genesis chapter 37, verse 21. So, when we stopped our reading a moment ago, what are they going to do? They're going to kill him. I mean, they were intent on doing this. And so the Bible says, Reuben, the oldest, said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness. and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. And then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. It probably was an empty well. They stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors and cast him into a pit. It's interesting to me that as Joseph enters God's development school, something Joseph valued greatly was taken from him. The coat that his father had made especially for him. Our journey to our destiny can involve the stripping away of what we value the most. Why is that? Because God knows that until we let go of what is most important to us, most prized by us, we cannot be entrusted with His destiny for our lives. Therefore, James 1, 2 through 4 comes to mind, where the Bible says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." God wants to bring us to a place where we realize we have everything we need. And we have everything we need in Christ Jesus. We are best prepared to fulfill our destiny when we have learned that God is enough in our life. And the only way that we can learn that God is enough and that He is absolutely sufficient is to lose some things. Especially those things that mean the most to us. You remember Abraham, who waited 25 years for the son of promise to be born. Then, once Isaac was born, God asked Abraham to give up that son to him as a sacrifice. And when Abraham laid his Isaac down, God said to him, "Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." On your way to your destiny, may I ask you this question? Have you laid your Isaac down? Have you laid your Isaac down? The things that mean the most to you, have you given those entirely back to God? So Joseph found himself in a pit, thrown there by his own brothers, while he knew that they resented him. I think he was shocked, bewildered, and devastated that they would do this to him. It's very possible that while he was in the pit, he could hear them talking about their plans to kill him. He had to come to grips with the fact and the reality that his brothers, his own brothers, wanted him dead. Tony Evans gives this definition of a pit for us. A pit is a hole you cannot get out of by yourself. It's a situation you cannot fix. Joseph was helpless. He couldn't get out of that pit. There was no way. He was at the mercy of his brothers. He couldn't fix it. He couldn't get out of it. He was in a pit. A pit, then, is a place where God strips you of all self-reliance. It is a place where you learn to let go of your desire for control, because in reality, you never had control in the first place. It's a place where you learn to depend on God. And I would add, on God alone. At the advice of Judah, his brothers decide not to kill Joseph. Instead, they sell him to some Midianite traders who take him to Egypt as a slave. And by the way, Egypt is exactly where God wanted Joseph to be. Now, I know what you're thinking probably. Why couldn't God just do what he did with Abraham and say, Joseph, go, get up and leave your family and go to Egypt. That's where I want you to be. How many of you would have voted for that had you been Joseph? Okay. But the task that God had in mind for Joseph, God in his infinite wisdom knew that before he could get to the palace, he had to first of all go to a pit and into a prison before he gets to the palace. And along the way, God Almighty is making him exactly who he needs to be. You know, Joseph had gone from being the apple of his father's eye, highly esteemed and destined for a throne, to being a slave. What a way to begin a journey to your destiny. The pit was an awful place to be. Being sold as a slave is an awful lot in life. But Joseph was exactly where God wanted him to be. So this morning, are you in a pit you cannot free yourself from? Do you have a situation that is beyond your control? Perhaps it's something that's been a lifelong struggle for you, something that you still hate, that you detest, that it's a part of your past or whatever. It's a pit for you. God has you exactly where he wants you to be. Trust him. He knows what he's doing, because whether you realize it or not, you are on the pathway to your destiny.